Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. This is a special day today. We're having a potluck dinner after church today. Praise the Lord. If you didn't know it, that's okay. If you didn't bring anything, that's okay. I can assure you there'll be enough to feed you. Don't worry about it. All these people always bring much more than enough to feed their own family, so I know there'll be plenty. There always is, you know, so don't worry about it. But the reason we're having a potluck dinner is because Alan and Tina's shower. Now, you may not know about that either, but if you haven't looked at her lately, she looks like she's going to bring forth a son in the very near future. Yeah, there's Tina sitting right there. She's got her hand up and everything. So, yeah, Alan and Tina, they've been with us a long time. They come to our church and come to all the healing schools and everything. They help with the video and audio and everything. So in case you didn't come prepared and you didn't bring a gift or anything, if you want to give them a gift to buy something themselves, there's some cards back there on the table, and you can just take one of those cards and put a couple $1,000 in it, you know, that'll be okay. Or whatever you want to put in, you know. I mean, you know, some people, $1,000 is nothing, right? Some people, $100 is nothing, and some people, $1 is a lot, you know, so it all depends on where you are. But anyway, I praise the Lord for all of you. So if you want to bless them, sure enough, if you didn't bring a gift and you want to give a gift, you don't have to, of course. But if you do, there's, like I say, some cards back there. Just put some money or a check or something in there and sign your name on it and say, may the Lord bless your new little Isaiah. They've already had a sonogram done, and that's what they're going to name him, little Isaiah. So does that sound like a good name?
It is.
Isaiah's a very good name, you know, because he was one of the prophets, so praise the Lord. You know, I think about all the things that Dave talked about in Psalms 91. And, of course, you know, we're thinking about what NASA says could happen this week. You know, there's going to be, and it depends on what team you listen to. Some people tell you there ain't no such thing as Planet X. And then some people tell you, yes, it's here. So I don't know. I just listen to them and then take it all with a grain of salt. But they say the third is going to be the next alignment. You know, so if Wednesday or Thursday or Tuesday night or Wednesday or Thursday, if there's some kind of a giant earthquake or a volcano or something blow up somewhere, you know, it's getting closer. And if there really is a Planet X, if there really is, and I don't know, I don't have a telescope, so I just go by what other people tell me. But if there really is, and we do have something happen Wednesday or Thursday, then of course they say that the latter part of September, which is only the next month, and then the first part of October is supposed to be the really exciting times when this thing is supposed to come so close to us that it could create all kinds of havoc. You know, and of course, I've taught you out of the scripture Isaiah 24 where the Lord says, He gets upset with the whole world and, you know, He literally turns the world upside down and slings off the inhabitants and few there will be that will be left. Well, I'm glad I'm one of those Psalms 91 folks, aren't you? God's still in the business of taking care of His children. That's supposed to be the church and that's us. But sometimes we think, you know, that let me just ask you a question. Is anybody in here at all? Now, I will hold up my hand. I'll just wait on you because has anybody in here at all had any kind of a problem, any kind of a problem at all this week? Did everything go great with you or did you have any kind of problems this week? Oh, some of you did have, huh? Okay, well, let me tell you. I'll tell you what sometimes we think about. Cheryl's son, Scott here, he's living over in one of our mobile homes over here, and this last week his air conditioner went out. Well, I went over there and started checking it out, and found out the condenser fan motor was bad, so I went got a new condenser fan motor and a new blade and everything exactly and put it on there, and it went out again that night. And so he said, my goodness, I'm sorry you're having so much trouble with it. I said, Scott, this is just the way it is sometimes. You know, so I had found out that somebody had put a motor, and this thing had been running for years. I mean, I've had it for 5 or 6 or 7 years, and it's run for years with a motor on it with a blade that was 2 inches bigger than it's supposed to be, and that it was over-amping the motor all those years. But when the temperature is below 100, it never did cycle it off. But with the temperature at 105 or 110, it was enough temperature there with the extra amps that it overloaded the motor, and the motor went off on over temperature. Well, I'm glad I'm got a little engineering background that I can figure these things out. And of course, I just got the new motor and the new blade put on it yesterday, and I just asked him. He said it worked last night, so he stayed cool, I guess. So, you know, but let me tell you, those are the kind of things that if you let it bother you, it can bother you. You know. So, but the Lord said in His Word, many are the trials and tribulations of the righteous, but the Lord. I figured somebody would know that. But the Lord will deliver them out of them all. Now, today we're going to talk about faith and some of the problems we have. I want to ask you a question first about faith. Do you think Paul was a great man of faith? Okay, if Paul was a great man of faith, I mean, he should not have had any problems, should he? But even if you are a great man of faith, you're going to have problems. Now, I know these problems Paul had are not too severe. I'm going to read them out of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 27. And I want you to hear some of the problems that this great man of faith that walked on the earth, that was chosen by God to do great things for His kingdom, I want to show you some of the problems that he had, so that maybe this week or next week or any week, that if we go through some problems or trials and tests, you may be able to endure them a little better. Because I want you to know, how many of y'all believe that Paul was really a great an apostle? A great man of God? Well, if he was and he had these kind of problems, then all I can say is get over it. If you have a little trial and test, get over it, you know. You're going to have them. Now, I want you to look at what he says here in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 through 27. Let's go back up to 24, and that says 26. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 27. 2 Corinthians 11, 24. Why does it say 24 on the bottom of 26? Okay, I don't know why it does that, but anyway. Look at there, first of all, Paul says, 5 different times the Jews gave me 39 lashes. How many times? 5 times. Does anybody really know what that means to get 39 lashes with a cat of 9 tails? I mean, you don't even want to think about that, do you, Jack? In other words, that made all them problems you had last week kind of small, didn't it? One lash would have been one too many, wouldn't it? But here Paul, this great apostle, this man of God that's about doing the Lord's work because of serving Jesus. The Jews didn't like him, and so they stripped Paul to the waist, tied him to a pole, and beat him with a cat of 9 tails, 39 lashes. You know, why did they only allow him to beat him 39? They said there is a possibility that 40 lashes could kill you. So they beat you 39 lashes with a cat of 9 tails. In fact, I remember one day when I was living over here in the house with my other wife, Betty, when she was still alive. We were there having dinner one evening, and after work, and I got home at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock or whatever, and this beautiful young lady that I had prayed over, she was a Catholic, or was a Catholic, and I'd prayed over, and God had healed both of her knees, so she thought anytime she had a problem, she could come to me, I had all the answers, you know, because I was the only man she ever met that could pray for her and get her problem taken care of. So anyway, the Lord did heal both of her knees at a healing school, and this lady just come in, knocked on the door, and I said, yes, come in. And she just come busting right in. She just crying, oh, Thurman, you got to help me. My husband's been so mean to me. Oh, and I thought, what in the world? And she was just taking on and taking on. And I finally said, I stood up and I said, okay, woman. I said, hold it right there. I said, take your blouse off. I want to see your back. What? I said, yeah, I want to see your back. She said, what do you mean take my blouse off? You want to see my back? I said, well, if you're crying like you are, and you said your husband's been so abusive, he beat up on you, I want to see the lashes on your back. Why? She said, he hadn't hit me physically. I said, well, then get over it. I said, get over it. I said, let's pray. She said, well, my husband won't go to church with me. And you know, when I talk to him about going to church, he makes some sarcastic comment, and he's just so abusive to me. I said, oh, I said, get over it, girl, get over it. I said, let's pray. Let's go to the throne of grace. I said, you know, since you haven't had any lashes, in other words, she hadn't even had one, had she, Jack? What do you think she would be sounding like if she just had one? What if he had just hit her one time with a belt across her back? Just one. What would you do if you got hit with a belt? One lick across your back, especially if it was the buckle end. That's just one time. Just think, those nine tails that Paul was beaten with five times had a little pieces of glass and bone in the tips of those straps. That makes it a little more terrible, doesn't it? And how many times did he say he got beat with this? Five times. Five? That's almost 160 licks he had been hit with. Is that right? Yeah. In other words, 155, wouldn't it be? Is that what it would be? Yeah, 40 times 5 would be 200, wouldn't it? Okay, so he was hit about 195 times then, right? Bill, how would you like to have one lick with a cat of nine tails? Oh. But when a group of men tie you up to a pole and strip you to the waist, you can't get away. And then they beat you with a cat of nine tails. And just look at this great man of God. He had been beaten five times. So if you think you've had problems this last week, get over it. You know, do you see where I'm coming from? You know, sometimes it's all relative. We think that we've had problems, but we haven't really had any problems at all. No, not really. You know, no problems at all. So if he was beaten five times with a cat of nine tails, 39 lashes. Let's go into verse 25 and see what else. He said, three times I was beaten with rods. Three times he was beaten with rods. How many of you have ever been beaten with a steel rod? You don't have nothing to complain about then, do you, girl? Huh?
I'm blessed.
You're blessed, yeah. Really, I think we all are blessed. But you know, Paul's trying to tell us that sometimes you may have to undergo some tremendous persecution and suffering. And if he went through these things, why do you think God let him go through these things? To tell us, so we would know, that just because we're a Christian doesn't mean you're never going to have a problem. I mean, Paul was a great apostle. But he was beaten five times with a cat of nine tails. Then three times he was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Anybody have any idea what size rocks they throw at you when they stone you? Not little ones, that's right. In fact, if they get one that'll fit in their hand, that's probably the smallest one. And then I think about Stephen, when I saw a movie one time about Stephen, as they had stoned him with big old rocks big as your hand, and Stephen was dying, but yet he had been talking about Jesus. And as he looked up, guess what Stephen saw? He saw the heavens open, and he saw the throne of God, and he saw Jesus, which is normally seated at the right hand of the Father, stand up, and he welcomed Stephen home. Now, let me tell you, you can't get a greater privilege than to have Jesus stand for your homecoming. You know, I'm telling you what, I doubt if there's very few people that he does that for, but he did that for Stephen. Because Stephen was a great man of God. And then that last stone, there was a man that stepped right over Stephen, straddled him in that movie I saw, with a rock as big as he could pick up like this, and he threw it right in Stephen's face. And that crushed his skull and killed him. Now, Paul was just done like that how many times? One time. Have you ever been hit with a rock? You know, when you were kids, you know, one kid will throw a little rock, you know, little ones. But a little rock hits you right there. You know, we done that one time. Oh, my goodness gracious. One of us never dreamed about hitting the other one, you know, just throwing at each other, you know. But one did. So you don't never throw a rock at somebody because you might hit them. And I remember one time we were doing that, and one of the boys got hit with a little bitty rock about that big right above the eye right there. And man, he went to screaming and running in the house. And when mother saw that cut and found out what it was, and that we'd been out there throwing rocks at each other, guess who got a spanking? All of us. Everybody got a spanking. Daddy didn't like us throwing rocks at each other, so we all got a spanking. There was punishment. He said, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked. Three times he's been out in the ocean shipwrecked. I mean, are you beginning to get the idea that Paul had some tribulations as he went through life? So how many of us have gone through any of these things so far? Not one single one of us. So guess what? I don't want to hear no grumbling and complaining from none of y'all. Y'all understand? For sure, from me. I don't want to hear me grumbling and complaining either, because I praise God. I'm grateful that I've never had to go through those. Aren't you, Jack? Amen. So from these things, I mean, Paul, I remember one of the times when they had stripped Paul and Barnabas and they had beaten them with a cat of nine tails. Then they took them out there and put them in stocks, and they were out there and the blood was running down their backs. And what were they doing? Grumbling and complaining? They were praising the Lord. Now, how many of us could praise and worship God if we'd just been beaten with a cat of nine tails and they took us into prison and put our hands in the stocks and it's midnight and blood is running down our backside right down onto the ground? I don't know hardly any Christian today that will worship and praise God during all that trial and test. Do you? But should we? Yes, we should. You know, that's what I'm saying. Hey, we need to learn to get over it. You know, but we're going to have trials and tests. They're going to be there. You know, just get up and say, hey, praise the Lord. Learn to walk by faith. And when you learn to walk by faith, I can hear those boys now worshiping and praising the Lord. And the Lord's up there saying, you know, I just love you guys worshiping and praising me. Lord, don't you see our backs are hurting? He said, yeah, but that ain't bothering me none. I'm loving y'all's worship and praise. I'm not feeling nothing. I love y'all's worship and praise. And so midnight came, and what did the Lord do all of a sudden? Man, he made the stocks fall off of them. He got them completely set free. He opened every door in the prison and everything, and I think everybody there that night got saved. So, and Paul and them got healed. Yeah, of course, they washed their backs off and everything like this. You know, when you think about these kind of things, I think about this week, Cheryl and I went to a funeral of one of our really good, dear friends down in Longview. And this man was, he's only about 65 years old, but he was a great man of faith. And he just knew that miracles would bring his whole family to Jesus, because he had four sons, only one of them serving God, three of them not serving God. And they had a big get-together on some holiday, Thanksgiving or whatever it was, one year. And there was 30 or 40 people at their house, all family. And he was believing God that if he could do some kind of a miracle that these people would see, they would all be on their face before God and accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that was his heart. He wanted to see his whole family come to Christ. That should be everybody's heart. You know, that's the way we are. We don't want to see nobody not come to Jesus. So anyway, one of the uncles was playing with Zach. Now, I got to meet Zach while we were down there. He was sitting on the end. When I got the privilege, I went down there to the funeral, wound up having to preach the funeral. I didn't know that I was going to have to do that, but when I walked in, the wife wanted to know if I would do the funeral, and I said, okay. You know, so I knew God, he always shows up. He'll do something good. So anyway, when I was telling this story, I said, one of the things that Jack liked to tell, his name was Jack also, and he said, one of the things that Jack loved to tell was a story about when his grandson, Zach, was there and they were playing out in the yard. Of course, when I said that, Zach's grandmama, she looked across and said, pointed and said, there he is, Thurman, right there on the end of the aisle, right there. So he held his hand up, and here's this little guy about this big. But this is what, in fact, 2 weeks ago, actually 3 weeks ago now, the man that we buried last week was standing right here. Him and his wife were here on Sunday, 3 weeks ago. And he was again telling me the story of his grandson, Zach. And how that one of Zach's uncles was playing with him out in the yard. And he went out there and he had picked little Zach up and he was slinging him around. And he reached down and got him by the ankles and he picked him up and started slinging him around like this. Well, first of all, when you start slinging people around, guess what happens to you? You get dizzy. That's right. And usually it don't take but 3 or 4 or 5 rounds and you're, you know, staggering around. Well, he's slinging little Zach, which, how old do you think he is, honey? 8 or 10? 9? 9 years old? He was slinging the little boy around, and how fast do you think he would be slinging him to hold him straight out? Pretty fast, right? I mean, you're going around like this, right? Man, that's moving. And at the end of a circle where he's at, that's moving, let me tell you. The uncle got dizzy and got a little too close, and little Zach's eyeball hit the trailer hitch on the pickup. Sound like it busted his skull. Kaboom! And of course, he started screaming naturally. And he told me himself last week when we were down there that it felt like his eyeball was in the back of his head. He said, I have never had anything hurt like that. So they immediately throwed a towel around his face and carried him into the bathroom. And of course, Jack, the grandfather, as soon as he heard what happened, he's a great man of faith. He ran in there in the bathroom where they had him wrapped up in a towel. It was his head. And put his hand, he just leaned down right over the top of him and began to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, this is a man of faith. This is where we all should live. This is what faith is. He understood his covenant with God. He was a great man of faith. And he laid his hands on it and began to call God in remembrance of those promises that Dave talked about just a minute ago. He began to quote those promises. Now, this is where his faith was. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said I could ask anything. I'm your son. So when I take my hands off of Zach, I don't even want a bruise on his face. I don't want a red mark. I want his eye to be perfect and I want there to be no pain in the name of Jesus. Now, did God say we could ask for those kind of things? Yes. So why is it so few of us believe whenever we come to a time of our faith being tested? He said, I took my hands off him. I said, take the towel off of him. I guarantee he's healed in the name of Jesus. Wow, does that sound like faith? They took the towel off of Zach and he turned up and looked up and he said, Thurman, as God is my witness, his eye was perfect. It wasn't even a bruise. What kind of faith does it take to make something like that work? You got to have a man that has spent time in God's Word and it's got to be in here. But he knew it was in there. He said, I knew my entire family. When I turned little Zach up and looked in his eyes, it was perfect. I said, oh, glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord. My entire family saw this. They all know it. They'll all be on their face repenting and accepting you as Lord and Savior. And guess what? Nobody accepted Jesus. It was just a fluke. It wasn't his prayer that changed things. How dumb can we be, huh? But Jack loved to tell that story. In fact, 3 weeks ago on Sunday, standing right there, he told me that story one more time. And of course, I told that story at his funeral. I said, you know, you people here, he had 4 sons, 3 of them serving God, 1 of them serving God, 3 of them not serving God. I said, you men, you fathers, you guys have no idea how lucky you are to have been raised in a family with a dad and a granddad that has that kind of faith with God. I said, Jack's heart is he wants every one of you to know him like he knew him. I said, if Jack could come back from heaven today, I said, I know if he could stand here where I am, one last word, he would say, boys, whatever y'all do, put Jesus Christ first in your life. That would be his desire for his sons. One of them is, but 3 of them's not. And of course, the 3 that's not, you know, they got children too, and so they're not taking their kids to church. But I will have to say, when they were at Grandma and Granddaddy's house, they learned about Jesus because Jack was a man of faith. You can't show me a man that can get God to do a miracle like that that's not tuned into Him pretty close. Would you agree with that, Jack? In fact, this Jack, sitting right here on the third row back, he come in and the first thing he had to say to me while he was, look at my hands. Tell him what was wrong with your hands, Jack.
Well, I had a ganglioma on my left hand. It's as big as the last digit on my finger. It's a big, ugly knot. I had it for 40 years. And Thurman and I started praying for it. Thurman prayed for it a couple of times. I prayed for it lots of times. And cast the demons from hell that were causing it out of there many times. And one day it went away.
Amen. You don't never give up, do you, Jack?
That I had a female friend that was real into appearances. And she said many times, why don't you have that removed? Why don't you have that removed? I said, well, I'm praying about it. And she was with me one day, and I walked up. She was sitting in the car. I walked up to the passenger side. I said, do you want to see a miracle from God? She said, oh, yeah, I do. I said, look at my hand. And she had seen it many times, and it was a real witness to her.
Let me tell you, look at that beautiful hand.
Yeah, I have one more thing you mentioned, Joplin, Missouri.
Oh, wait, hold it just a minute. Wait a minute. I forgot to give you a mic, Jack. And if you're saying something, I was close enough that I think they could pick it up on the other one. But
well,
hold it close.
You mentioned Joplin, Missouri, and yeah. I've been there for about the last month and a half. And it is devastating, but there is something very unusual that happened there. There was a big shopping center, strip center, parallel to the road, about maybe a half a block or so off the road, you know, because they have a huge big parking lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And in this shopping center, there were three stores. And the last store was owned by a very wealthy man. He makes about $300 or $400 million a year.
Wow.
And he has no insurance on any of his stores, and he owns them all outright because he said, I'm as big as an insurance company, so yeah. Why do I need it? Well, the storm went through there devastated like I've never seen before, and I do this kind of business, so I've seen a lot. All the stores in that shopping center were devastated except his, and he didn't lose a beat. It didn't close one day.
Is that
it didn't
right?
Lose any merchandise. The roof went off of it, and the doors just rained in the other stores.
But his didn't have no damage.
His name is David Green, and it's Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby. Wow. Now, let me tell you a little story about Hobby Lobby, since he just said that. When I spoke at the Bill Gothard conference, Bill himself told me this story about this magnificent place they got down there. It had 25 beautiful homes on it. It was, I forget how many hundred acres of land, had its own airport, its own hangar, had several buildings with thousands of square feet in these buildings, and it was appraised at like $40 million. Well, it belonged to another church organization that when the main leader of that died, the church began to fall apart. And so, because I believe it was a cult, I won't even name it, but anyway, they tried to sell this place. And they had it appraised, and $40 million, and of course, you know, they didn't have a single buyer, so they lowered the price to $20 million and didn't have a single buyer, not one. And so they finally lowered the price of it a little lower than that, like $15 million or whatever it was, and still ain't nobody looking. Well, Bill's, they found it. And he went in and talked to them, and he tried to buy it from them. And they said, well, how much money do you have? He said, when they said, we want $15 million, he said, well, I don't have nowhere close to $15 million. But he said, I'd like to have it for the ministry. And they said, well, how much money do you have? He said, $1 million. They said, we are not going to sell you this place for $1 million. And he said, well, that's all the money I got. And you know, he's a big organization. He's got 2,000 people working in his ministry, so he's a big ministry. But anyway, he said he couldn't get the money together, and so he went to Hobby Lobby. And he talked to the man at Hobby Lobby. Now, Hobby Lobby does this for churches. They're always buying buildings and letting them have them. So Hobby Lobby come in, and they talk to these people, and they finally said, I tell you what we will do. We will give you $9 million for the place. And they said, okay, we'll take it. Since they had no offers whatsoever. Now we've got a $40 million piece of property. They're going to buy it for $9 million. And he said, you have to have, they signed a contract that money had to be here by 4 o'clock on a Friday, like 2 weeks in advance, 2 weeks ahead or something like that. Well, in the meantime, there was some big wheel with one of these big football teams came down and heard about this, and they thought this would make a great place for our football boys. And so they offered that organization $15 million. Now they've already got a signed contract for $9 million. Well, they tried to get Bill to back out because they wanted the extra $6 million. And he said, no, we've got it bought. Hobby Lobby's got it bought. Well, they said, you have to have the money by 4 o'clock on Friday. And so at 2 o'clock on Friday, the money had not showed up. So Bill said, if we ever prayed, we prayed. And he said, about 15 minutes to 4, the courier come in with the check. And they paid them the $9 million. So Hobby Lobby came to Bill and said, okay, we bought it for $9 million. You said you had a million. And they said, he said, yes, we have a million. He said, it needs renovating very bad. So y'all go in and spend your million, and you renovate the place and bring it up to standards that you want so you can use it. All the houses that need to be fixed. There was 25 beautiful 3- and 4-bedroom homes. I stayed in one when I was down there. And they renovated everything. They spent the million. And then after 1 year, Hobby Lobby give Bill the whole property for a $1 bill. And you want to know why? The man is successful. We know why he's successful, don't we, Jack? See, the scripture, in fact, I want to finish this right here on Paul, and then I want to go to Psalms 1. It says, I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled many weary miles. I have faced danger from flooded rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the stormy seas. And I face danger from men who claim to be Christians but are not. Verse 27. Now there's a few people in the world today that claim to be Christians that are not. I have lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. Often I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. Often I have shivered with cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Now then, I bet you that right here in this room today, I bet there's not anybody, not one single one of us can even come close to holding a candle to what Paul suffered. Can we? No. You may have gone without food. You may not have had a good warm or good cool place to sleep. You may have had pain and sickness, but you hadn't suffered nothing compared to what he does suffered. So next time you get on a pity party, you know, think, I haven't suffered anything, Lord. I'm okay. Now, I want us to turn to Psalms 1. And I want you to see in Psalms 1, it's only got a few verses, about 7, I think it is. Psalms chapter 1. And I want to show you something that God said in His Word. I mean, just think, the Lord put everything in His Word that we'll ever need for a successful life. It's all in there, isn't it, Jack? He put in there how we could get rid of a growth on your hand that had been there for 40 years. And we believed Him, and He took it off, didn't He? See, now He would have let you carry that thing to your grave, or you could have had it taken off by a doctor, you know. But He did it, and there ain't no scar there.
No pain.
No pain. Didn't cost no money. Isn't God good?
Amen.
He is so, so good. Look what He says here. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. Oh. You mean there's people out there that follow the advice of the wicked? Huh? Unfortunately, Terry, they do, don't they? And He says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. You know, When I can remember when I was a young kid growing up, I was raised in a town that you couldn't hardly buy cigarettes, you know. I mean, they did have cigarettes, but you couldn't buy beer. And liquor, forget it. You couldn't buy that. You had to drive 20 or 30 or 40 miles to another town. Well, I can't even remember how many times my friends, they thought it was big, you know, to go out and get a bottle of fifth of whiskey or something, you know, and drink it and get all drunk and all that kind of stuff. I can't even tell you the number of times they would try me. Oh, Thurman, just have a drink. You'll love it. I said, no. Mm-mm. I'm not going there. And one night, I was with that same group of guys. There was four or five of us that played football together. And one of the boys just got wiped out that night. I mean, he just drank. I don't know what that stuff was in that bottle he was drinking, but it was pretty powerful stuff. And then we decided we want to go to a dance. So we went off out here to this dance, five or six of us guys in one car. We drove out here and we walked up there and we walked in this guy, this friend of mine that was good friend of mine. Normally he was a gentle giant. He's a big guy, but he never hit nobody. He wouldn't want to fight or anything. And he happened to bump into this woman as he walked in. And up, he bumped into her and the guy there grabbed me and said, "What do you mean bumping into my girlfriend?" And man, before he thought, he just bam, boom. And we got a fight on right there. Those two guys fought. I mean, they beat each other. They did everything. And when the fight was finally over some stupid little something that didn't amount to nothing, we had to carry him to town, wake up the doctor in Goldthwaite, and he came down to his office and sewed this boy up at 11 o'clock at night. You know, now that was back in the days we had country doctors. You didn't have emergency rooms or all that kind of stuff. We went down there, and the doctor sewed him up. And I thought, just think how awful this was. If he hadn't been drinking, I never saw that boy hit anybody in my life. But when he gets wiped out with whiskey, you do things that you normally wouldn't do. You know, and I think how many times they tried to get me to join in with them, but I never did. I never did. I never did smoke, drink, none of those things. I didn't do it. It said, "Oh, for the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked." Today, most of it is drugs. You know, you've got to watch it. This every kid almost in school, if you're not careful, one kid's trying to get another one on some kind of terrible drugs today. You know, so don't follow the advice of the wicked. Or stand around with sinners or join in with scoffers. Make yourself scarce when it comes to these kind of people. You know, if you want to walk in faith, what kind of people do you got to be around? Godly faith people. Yeah. If you hang out with the sinners all the time, I can assure you, you will not be able to walk in faith. That's just like I've said many times. Last night, I turned the TV on to watch the news. And it was a few minutes till the news, and there was some kind of I guess it was a detective program or something, about 15 minutes before news time. And I watched that 15 minutes on that whatever it was. I don't even remember what channel it was. But I think it was channel 4. Well, that's where I normally watch the news. But that 15 minutes, I saw some of the most wicked, killing, fighting, beating. In 15 minutes on a television, I thought, you know, Lord, if I was watching that kind of stuff all the time, there's no way I could walk in love and walk in faith. I thought, and Lord, there's people out there that's feeding that into their minds and their heart all the time. And because they're feeding that into their heart all the time, there's no way you can walk in faith. You just can't do it. You know, you've learned that too, haven't you, Jack? I mean, you know that. And he says, but they delight in doing everything the Lord wants. And boy, how are you going to find out what God likes? Read His Word. He will tell you. Day and night they think about His law. When you meditate on His law, you know, I just stand amazed. I go to bed sometimes at night and I'm laying there and just scriptures are just running through my heart. Meditating on those. I may wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and what's on my mind? Scripture, Word of God, quoting the Word. Go to the bathroom, come back and lay there. I may lay there an hour and just run through scriptures. It's amazing. But I'm meditating on His Word day and night. Why do I do that? Because that's what He said to do in His Word. Meditate on My Word day and night. Then He says in verse 3 and 4, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season without fail. Now, if you've got a tree, you know, I hear this all the time from lots of people. When they say, in fact, I was over getting some stuff at Home Depot and I walked by and a guy said, make sure you stay in out of the sun. You know, I said, well, I'm pouring concrete today. And he said, pouring concrete? He said, how old are you? I said, well, I'm going to be 73 my next birthday. He said, 73? You ought to be inside and under an air conditioner. I said, but I don't do that. He said, you ain't 73 years old. You're lying to me. I said, no, I'm not 73 yet, but I will be in December. I said, I'm not quite 73, but I'm getting there. He said, I don't believe it. I said, well, let me tell you something, sir. I believe God's Word. He said, well, I'm a Christian. I believe God's Word, too. I said, you know what Psalms 105 says? Yeah, right. He didn't know what that says, though, Jerry. I told him, I said, I claim that scripture regularly. I said, the God that I serve is a faith God. And if I claim His promises by faith, then He makes them come to pass. So that's how I can claim that scripture. He renews my youth like the eagles. So by claiming that, He keeps me young. Doesn't He do that, Jack? You know, the average man that's 60 years old, when he passes 60, you know what they do? Oh, I'm so old. You know, I don't know if I'll make it or not. Oh, Lord. Well, with that kind of talk, you ain't going to make it. You know, you're going to get old. And, of course, when we talk about being prosperous and successful here, let's see, it says here, your leaf will never wither, and in all they do, they will prosper. So I'm going to prosper and be in health, and one day when I get, well, I don't know, somewhere, maybe 120, I don't know, we'll see when we get there. But you know, if I'm ready to go home at 120, I'll say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to come to the house, you can bring me home now, you know, or somewhere along. But I guarantee I'm not going to go down confessing all these negative things like so many people do. I'm just not going to do that. But you know, I was thinking last night as I was watching the news, when I did get to the news, I watched, you know, Boehner and Obama and Reid and all these people. And then I heard a guy kind of on the side. I don't know what he was. And I'm not sure that these numbers they quote are right or not. But he said, you know, they're not. They're probably not. But he says that the amount of money that the federal government has promised to pay this year exceeds the gross national product for the entire world. Not the gross national product of the United States, but of the world. How are we going to pay those bills, folks? It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. So this guy, whoever he was, he said, it's too late. He said, it's too late. He said, we're going to go belly up. Well, if there was ever a time that you better learn how to walk in faith and obey God, it's now. Because if the world goes belly up, there's going to be a lot of Christians out there out of a job. But do what, Terry?
We're going to need the ravens to feed us.
We're going to need the ravens to feed us, yeah. But if we walk in faith, they will do that.
Right.
You know, that doesn't mean that, you know, that we're going to have to do without food. God's going to take care of us because we're going to all stick together somehow. And by sticking together, we're going to be blessed.
Amen.
Because we are God's children, and we're not going to let, if the world says it's going to fall apart, that's okay.
That's right.
The world, the reason they're falling apart is they don't know these promises.
Amen.
Look at this one more time. They are like trees planted along the riverbank.
Yeah.
I mean, when a tree is planted close to the river, that baby gets plenty of water, doesn't it? You don't have to water it. It's that they bear fruit each season without fail, and their leaves never wither, and in all they do, they prosper. In how much we do? In all we do, we will prosper. If we put God first and love Him and serve Him and do what He says, do you have to get old and wither?
No.
No, you don't have to get old and wither. You have to obey God and do what He says. And then He says, whatever you do, it will prosper. You will be successful. He said, technically speaking, you'll have money in your pocket when the world is out of money. I mean, it all depends. Just like Hobby Lobby. I thought, that's awesome, Jack. It is an awesome story. That Hobby Lobby, the man that serves God, didn't lose a single building. But yet, those right beside him were totally destroyed.
John, had John,
Adjoining wall. Wow. Now, a common wall. Yeah, a common wall. He's still in business, still selling stuff. You have the building right beside him. It's totally gone. Now, is God in control?
Amen.
Is the King in control?
Yes,
He is in control. So, just like Psalms 91 that Dave read, do we have anything to fear if we've made Him, the Most High God, our dwelling place? See, that man has made the Lord his dwelling place. What?
He didn't say he was sick.
No, he did not. He was not sick. That's right. Paul was not sick. I'll tell you, I've done some very extensive teachings on that. Now, he did have, that spirit of infirmity. You know, that beast, that devil of hell had been along since because his great revelations. God did put him to the test. He went through some real stuff. But this is not true of the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. In other words, you saw that, didn't you, Jack? Those that were not putting God first, right beside Hobby Lobby's building, scattered all over the place. And his building is left standing intact, still in operation. Now, isn't that amazing? Wow. Is that a great testimony for our Lord? He's in control. Well, that doesn't say much for those 35 churches that got blown away, does it? Yeah, they had 20 minutes warning. 35 churches in that little 1 mile by 6 mile were totally destroyed. 35.
They just caught what Cheryl referred to, the woman in Florida.
Oh, yes.
They just heard that.
Yeah.
Put that in.
See, but you can't... Yeah, but you can't receive something by faith you've never been taught. You know, that's like Ms. Dolores Mueller. Like they said... The first time she believed that her house would be okay, and it was, and it tore up all around her. And the second time she believed that she could go a little further and still have power in her house, and she did. And then the third time she believed that she could have power and her house wouldn't be hurt, and I don't know exactly what the deal was, but I do remember the last time, the fourth time, she said, I believe I will have no damage. I will not only not be out of electricity, but my entire block will still have electricity. And when the storm was passed, she called me and said, Thurman, praise the Lord. She said, I've been through 4 hurricanes, have not lost a shingle. And she said, the first time I was out of power because I didn't have the faith. But she said, this time I had the faith to ask God to make sure that my entire block, she said, I remitted the sins of my whole block. And I stood on His word and said my whole block still had power when everything else was gone. Now that's the kind of women we need, right? Of course, Miss Dolores, she's about, what, honey? She's about 80-something, right? 81 or 2. We went to her restaurant when we were in Florida and we went over to see her. She's just a lovely lady, and she owns a little restaurant down there in Florida. And still working, 80-something years old, still running that little restaurant. Isn't that something? But this is not true of the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. Verse 5 and 6. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. If there was anything I would want to be doing, I would want to be walking in the path of the godly. Would you? Yeah, I don't like anything he has to say about the wicked. I don't like that, do you, Jack? No. Now then, let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. In the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And let's see what the Lord says there in Habakkuk 2, 4. Habakkuk 2, 4, he's talking about faith. Habakkuk 2, 4, look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faith. What is the righteous supposed to live by? Their faith. Well, where do we get this faith? From the Word of God. Yeah. Now let's go to Romans 1:17. Let's see what it says in Romans 1:17. There in Habakkuk 2:4 says the righteous will live by their faith. Romans 1:17. Romans 1:17. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the Scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. So the righteous shall live by faith. Is that what he says? Okay. Galatians 3:11. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, and let's see what that says. So far, we're batting 1,000 here on walking by faith. Consequently, it is clear that no one can ever be right with God by trying to keep the law. You know, now we know that. Nobody ever was able to keep the law. I don't care who you were, how hard you worked, you could not keep the law. There's never been a man that could do that except Jesus. He did it. For the Scripture says it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Now, what is it that gives you and me life?
Faith.
Faith in what? God, in the Word of God. That's absolutely right. Now, and let's go to Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. And a righteous person will live by faith, but I will have no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Now then, you think God's serious about this faith business? He'll have no pleasure in you if you turn away. So let me ask you a question right quick. Let's say that you need a house to live in. You don't have a place to live. You need a house to live in. And the average person will go out and say, "Oh, woe is me. I don't have a place to live." Instead of saying, I walk by faith. Lord, I want to thank you and praise you that if I've committed any kind of sins, I want to just lay them at the foot of the cross, and I'm going to remit my sins unto the throne of God and to the blood of Jesus. And so now that I have remitted my sins, they're remitted. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, now then, by faith, I have a house to live in. I don't know where it is. I don't know how much it's going to cost. But I know that you're going to give me a place to stay. Thank you, Lord. And so here's what happens. Somebody comes by and says, "You know, I've got a house for you. And we're going to let you move into it next week." And guess what you say? "I don't believe it. I don't believe it." You ain't walking by faith. You know, you're still walking by flesh. Get over it. You know, if you start claiming something by faith and it happens, you got to believe it's going to happen. You got to believe it was going to happen the minute you quoted it. I mean, I think about that day that I walked in that hospital with Caitlin tore all to pieces. I mean, there was no doubt in my heart that the Word of God was true. I had heard God's audible voice several times by this time, and I knew God was real. I knew He could put that little girl back together, Jack. Compared to that little thing on your hand, kind of nothing, huh? But I think about Caitlin this week. She's been up with her other grandmother and grandfather in Nebraska or Kansas, whatever it is. She's coming home today. No. She wasn't in Georgia this time. No, she was in Kansas. They had a wedding up there. One of the in-laws got married, and she was with them. Her grandmother and grandfather live close to Atlanta, Georgia, but they've been up in Nebraska this week, and Tim's going to pick her up in Oklahoma City this afternoon and bring her back home. She's 13 years old. I just think, wow, you know, what God can do, huh? And when I look at that beautiful little face, it looks like your hand, Jack. There ain't no scars. There ain't no marks. That beautiful little face don't have a single mark or a scar on it. Now, how are we supposed to live by what?
Faith.
Does faith bring forth awesome things?
Yes.
Yes, it does, when we stand on it. Now, He's told us four times the just shall live by faith. In other words, we shall live by the promises of God. That's what we're supposed to stand on. And if we walk in obedience to His Word, He will bring these things to pass for us so that we can see Him do these great and wonderful things. I was thinking last week, well, I mean, I've been wanting to pour some concrete over there in one of my buildings, and it was going to take around 30 yards of concrete. That's somewhere in the neighborhood of $3,000 for the concrete, but, you know, I'm a man of faith. I really learned how to be a man of faith on my parking lot in front of my son's building, because I don't have any idea how many 100 yards of concrete we poured on his entire parking lot on his gym. I poured that entire parking lot by faith. Somebody says, "What do you mean?" Well, I said, I run out of money. I didn't have any money. In other words, I've spent all of my life savings building my son's gym and buying all that equipment, and now I need a concrete parking lot. So I went out there and I told one of the guys working with me, I said, you know, we're going to form up a 20 by 20 section here and put some steel in it, and then I'm going to ask God to bring me some free concrete. He said, Thurman, you're crazy. I said, nope, I'm going to walk by faith. A lot of people think you're crazy. So anyway, we went out there and we formed it up. We put the steel in it and we're getting ready and everything. And a guy come by and he says, hey, he said, you fixing the concrete this parking lot? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, where are you going to buy your concrete? I said, I ain't going to buy it. I'm going to get it for free. He said, where are you going to get it for free? I said, I don't know, but the Lord's going to bring it. I said, well, why? What do you need? He said, well, I'm the manager for one of the big concrete places, Lattimore Concrete up here. And he says, I thought I'd stop by and see if I could sell you this concrete. I said, no, I'm out of money, so I'm going to get it for free. He said, you're serious, aren't you? I said, yes, sir, I'm serious. He said, do you have two or three guys here to help you? I said, yeah, all the time. He said, so we always have overage concrete. He said, when we bring it back, we have to take it to a place and dump it. And he said, would you be willing to take our overage concrete? I said, I would love it. I poured that entire parking lot around my son's complete building, probably 200 yards of concrete poured, and the biggest amount of concrete I got in any one day was 4.5 truckloads in one day, free. 4.5 truckloads in one day. But this last week, or week before last, I said, Lord, I'm going to exercise my faith again, and I need to pour concrete underneath my carport deal down there at the gym, behind the gym. And I said, Lord, it looks like I need something around 30 yards, something, I'm just guessing. But I said, Lord, thank you. I need that concrete, and I want to thank you for bringing it to me by free. I'm living by what?
Faith.
So after I prayed and asked the Lord, I drove over to see David over there at Gateway Concrete, which is not too far from where the gym is. I said, David, you have any overage concrete? He said, oh, yeah, all the time. He said, in fact, if you'd been here 45 minutes earlier, we just dumped a 10-yard load. I said, oh, my goodness gracious. I said, well, I said, I'm ready, and there's a couple of us going to be over there. So I said, if you want to start bringing it to me, I'm ready. Just give me a call on my phone. I wrote my phone number down and give it to him. I didn't much more than get back over there, and he said, I got 3 yards. Just come in right now. Do you want it? I said, sure. So he brought it over there, and we poured a couple of little slabs that we needed to pour. And that was that day. Well, the next morning at 7 o'clock, now usually I don't go to bed till 1. Nearly every night I go to bed at 1. So I don't usually get up at 7. You know, I sleep in a little while, you know, till 8 or something like that. But 7 o'clock, my phone was ringing the next morning, and he said, Thurman, this is David. He said, are you ready for 16 yards of concrete? I said, what, do you got a full truckload and a half? He said, yeah, we got 16 yards. It'll be back here in 30 minutes. Can you be here in 30 minutes? I said, I'll be there in 30 minutes. So, naturally, we called Scott. I got him out of bed. No, he probably was already. I got Tim out of bed. Tim, when he looked and he saw Dad's number at 7 o'clock in the morning, he said, oh, my gosh, it must be an emergency. Dad never called me at 7 in the morning. But we all went over there together, Dave and me and everybody, and we, before the day was over, we had poured everything we needed except a one little apron out in front I figured was going to take about 6 more yards. We had the whole thing poured and finished and everything. And the next day, Bruce and I was over there. I said, Lord, thank you. I need 6 more yards of concrete today to finish that off. So about 2 o'clock, I said, well, I hadn't had it yet. So I said, Lord, I'm going to run up to the chicken place to get me a little snack pack. Because if I do get 6 yards now, I need something in me. So I get to the chicken place, and just as I order, my phone rings. Said, Thurman, it's David. I got 6 yards. You ready for it? I said, when? He said, in 10 minutes. I said, I'll be there. Bring it over. So I wolfed down my chicken on the way back over there, and we got that last 6 yards, and we totally did that whole thing. We got 34 yards of free concrete by faith. Now, the just are going to live by what?
Faith.
You know, don't ask God to do something for you and then say, what are you waiting for? Well, I'm waiting on this or that. Well, I've asked God for it. You believe you're going to get it? Well, I sure hope so. Now, that's not faith. You know that? Yes, I'm going to get it because I ask. Now, he didn't say when he would give it to you, but you will get it. You know, so you got to believe God. Now, let's go to Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. And let's look at what it says about what faith is. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. Look here. Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 6. What is faith? Now, that's a good question, because we need to know what this is. If we're supposed to live by faith, then we need to know what it is. So what is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. When you stand on God's promises and you say, Lord, I need 6 more yards of concrete to finish this out here in the front. Now, isn't that just a coincidence that I happen to get just exactly 6 yards? You don't think that was a coincidence, do you, Jack? Just like that was a coincidence that Hobby Lobby didn't get tore up. Huh? Ain't no God. That's got to be the most awesome story about that. I know these men at Hobby Lobby, and if I ever knew a group of men that are men of God, just think. This guy, I have no idea. When you said he probably makes $300 or $400 million a year, I knew he bound to make lots of money because I saw him buy that building. I was with Bill, and I saw Bill tell me when Bill said that Hobby Lobby paid $9 million for that piece of property. They'd been appraised at $40
million. He's given the Oral Roberts over $150
million. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. He's given many, many.
He also appointed the board.
Yeah, yeah. But I know he has done so many wonderful things for so many Christian ministries. Just like Bill. $9 million is not something to be sneezed at, folks. $9 million, that's some big bucks. But what was that going to be used for? For the glory of God. And so God knows what He's doing. He ain't going to let you go out there and give somebody a bunch of money that ain't going to use it for His glory. That's why when I was young, He didn't give me no money when I was young. Because if He had have, what I'd have done with it? I'd have went out and bought a brand new Corvette for about $20,000, that I didn't need. I could have bought, I did go out anyway and buy a brand new 59 Chevrolet Impala with a 348 V8. It cost me $2,300 brand new. Brand new. But that's back in the days when you only made $100 a week. You worked 54 hours a week for $100. Let me tell you, $2,300 is a lot of money. But see, I didn't keep that thing but about 9 months because I had to sell it because I couldn't afford the gas after I made the payments on it. I didn't have no money to go nowhere. Oh, don't you feel so sorry for me? What do you think God was trying to do? He was trying to teach me something. I wonder how much I tithed back in those days. Tithe? What's that? I didn't know what tithe was. So why do you think He didn't bless me with a lot of money? Because I wasn't giving Him none of it. I was using it all for me. I know no other young boy or girl's ever done anything dumb like that besides me. But I had done them, so I'll guarantee you I know how it works. It says there, faith is a confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. See, I could see in my mind and my heart that concrete, but I didn't have it yet. But it didn't take long for it to materialize. To think that from the time I went over there and asked the boy after I prayed, within 2 days, I had 34 yards of concrete finished in that building. Free. Totally free. Wow. But of course, the one over at the gym, it took a little longer than that. I will have to say one morning, after I got that 4 yard, 4 truck, 44, 45 yards of concrete, that was a pretty busy day that day for me and about 3 guys. So I thought, wow, well, I'll put up a whole lot more forms, where that if they do this to me again, I'll be ready. So, I had forms all over the place out there. I'm getting ready. And this guy called me from Lattimore. He said, Thurman, are you ready for concrete? I said, yes, sir. I'm ready for anything you got. He said, are you ready for 11 truckloads? I said, you can't be serious. He said, yeah, we loaded 11 trucks this morning, sent them down to Fort Worth, and said it rained down there last night and they can't get in. And so he said, I think they're going to have to bring them all back. He said, now, if you can handle it, we'll send them to you. I said, I ain't no way got that much forms up, but I'll take as many as I can. I said, you got to dump it somewhere. So, we're out there throwing up some more forms. We're putting steel in. We're working 90 miles an hour. And my phone rang. He said, Thurman, the guy called and said, they decided to get a couple of big pump trucks and pump it. So he said they couldn't afford to lose 11 truckloads of concrete. You know, that's 110 yards. That'll pour a lot. I said, thank goodness. I really didn't. 11 truckloads. I wasn't really ready for 11 truckloads. That 4.5 that day was all I could stand, I will have to say. That was tough. But I thank God. But anyway, you need to learn to walk by faith. It says, verse 3 and 4, let's go on down here. Verse 3 and 4, we'll go all the way through 6. Verse 3 and 4 in Hebrews 11. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Now, if God made us in His image and His likeness, and this is the kind of faith He had, let there be light. And light was. Then He said, let there be an earth. And there was. Now you see, God's faith is not limited by time, distance, or space. Ours is. You notice how many times He tells us, if two of you on earth agree about anything, it shall be done. Is that what He said? And did it work?
Yes,
it did. But we were limited to what, Jack? The earth. If two of you agree on earth. Now then, if He hadn't have limited us to earth, and He'd have given us the power like He had, then some of us would really have messed up the cosmos. Y'all understand that? You know, we're already kind of messed it up, you know, when you think about all these things that are out there and these space stations. And of course, you know, I stand in awe that this space station that the United States, the UN, Russia, and all these other nations have spent, I forget how many hundreds of millions or billions of dollars they spent building that big space station that's as big as a football field. Russia says in, I think it's 2015 or something like that, or 2012, they're going to destroy it. Did you hear that? What is this, huh? That's what I don't understand. Why? You know, I mean, but you know, I don't understand the big boys and what they're doing out there. I'm perfectly happy walking around on the earth. I don't have to be out there in the space station. You know, I'm okay with this. When I walk out there, I'm not going to have any limitations. If I go by the space station and look at it, I ain't going to need a space suit. I ain't going to need a space suit. I'm going to be in my glorified body. I can just go out there and look at anything I want to look at. I can go anywhere I want to in my glorified body. And I'm not going to be limited. I'm not going to have to do it by faith. You know, so, wow. It says, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. God accepted Abel's offering to show that he was a righteous man. And although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us because of his faith. He had great faith. And that's what the Lord wants you and me to have. Verse 5 and 6. 5 and 6, he says, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Suddenly he disappeared because God took him. But before he was taken, he was approved as pleasing to God. Now, do you want to be a pleaser of God? Boy, I want to be a pleaser of God too, so that when it does come my day, when He takes me home, I would love to go home to be with Jesus. Can you imagine having the Lord come down and take you back to heaven with Him? Can you imagine that? He just walk in and say, son, I can't live in heaven without you no more. Come on. Let's just go home. That's what he did to Enoch, right? Enoch walked with God. He loved him so much, and he walked in faith that finally the Lord said, well, I just can't live in heaven without you. So he just come down and got him, took him home. So you see, it is impossible to please God without faith. So if we don't have faith, can we please Him? No, not at all. God says Himself, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that there is a God and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Now see, when I was, just like all the miracles I've seen God do, when I've done those. Just like the other day with the concrete. I mean, that seems very insignificant to some people. But I prayed first and believed God and thanked Him for my concrete. And within 36 hours, I got 34 yards at no cost. You know, you just can't beat a deal like that. You know that? I love it, walking by faith. You know, we have to believe that God is. But the same way with Caitlin, you know, when I prayed over Caitlin, everybody told me she's going to die. There's not a chance, not one in a million that this little girl's going to live. But I said there's not one in a million chances that she can die because I'm a man of faith and I got the promises of God, which are always yes and amen. So by faith, she's alive today. You know that? By faith, Johnny Brumfield is walking today when he had two crushed legs. Isn't that amazing? By faith. You know, sometimes I get real tickled at men of God, evangelists, missionaries, pastors that call me. And they'll be talking with me and they'll say, you know, I heard a story about you or you prayed for somebody and this happened. I said, this can't be. I said, oh yeah, it did. You know, that's just like, I mean, I got tickled at Brett. I don't see him here today, Brett Holland, but a lot of times he is here. He's a doctor. He's a medical doctor. And his wife gave him one of my CDs and he listened to it and immediately took it out and threw it in a trash. He said, this man's crazy. Well, a couple of days later, he goes by the trash can, so I'm going to listen to that one more time. So he gets it out, puts it in there, listens to it again. Then he told Molly, he said, Molly, this guy's either completely crazy or he's real. She said, we're going to drive to Dallas and I'm going to meet this guy. Well, they came to Dallas and found out, hey, I was real. You know, I'm flesh and blood just like he was. And as he talked to people in the church, he found out all these things had really happened. These things really were real, that I walked by faith. So that's just like Brett started praying for his patients. And he started seeing great results. Things started happening like never before. And then just a few months ago, Brett called me and said, Thurman, I am so mad at you. I said, Brett, what's wrong? He said, because of you, I got fired from my job down at the hospital. I said, what do you mean? He said, yeah. He said, of course, I have been praying for people. I'm listening to you too much. And he said, I'm learning this stuff that God will answer our prayer. And said, I've been praying for my patients, and I have been seeing some pretty good results. But he said, one of my patients didn't like it, and they went to the board, and I got fired. I said, why aren't you jumping up and down and praising God? He said, what do you mean, Thurman? I lost my job. I said, God says praise Him in all things. That's faith. He said, but Thurman, you don't understand. I'm out of a job. I said, Brent, how's God going to give you a better job if He don't fire you from that one?
Amen.
I said, now praise Him and thank Him. So a couple Sundays later, Brett walked in. He said, well, Thurman, I did start praising the Lord. And I said, Ann, he said, this week I got a job, paid a whole lot more money than the other one. Hey, isn't that something? See? By faith. What can we do by faith? So what's wrong with us? What is wrong with us?
Unbelief.
That's true. Unbelief. So you can see it is impossible to please God without faith. So if I had walked in and said, oh Lord, I'm crying and I'm so sad that my granddaughter's been killed in a car wreck and oh God, if it be your will you please help her if it's possible? What do you think I'd have got from him? She would have died, wouldn't she, Jack? Yeah. But I mean, I made a complete fool out of myself when it comes to faith. I'm guaranteeing everybody the Word of God cannot fail. It will bring her through. And of course it did. Because the Lord says, it is impossible to please me without faith. And anyone who wants to come to me must believe that there is a God and that that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. That doesn't mean reading the Word 15 minutes a day. That's not getting it done. You know, I think about, and of course all of y'all have heard this story, but I got to tell it one more time. I love this story of Miss Betty right there. Miss Betty sitting right there. This girl, she sincerely seeks the Lord. She loves God with all her heart. Here a while back, she was trying to design a spreadsheet for the bookkeeping that she does, and she could not remember all the formulas she needed to make that thing work. So this crazy woman this faith woman, she prays. And then she goes to bed. And during the night, God showed her in a dream every formula and every cell. She jumps up, goes in, and puts every one of those formulas in the right cell where God just showed her. And that spreadsheet's still working today, isn't it, Betty? Amen. Now, isn't that amazing? In all things, we praise Him and thank Him in all things. I mean, it doesn't make any difference to God who you are. You got to sincerely love Him and seek Him and believe that it's done. And when you thanked Him in advance for those formulas, He gave them to you that night, didn't He, Betty? Yes, He did. What an awesome God we serve. He's an awesome God. Now then, well, I'll tell you what, let's do. That looks like a good place to quit since we're going to have... I wanted to go to Galatians chapter 3 and 4, but I guess I ain't got time. That'll have to be next Sunday. I'm going to talk about a little bit about the law and how we're not under the law and how we're going to walk, how we should walk in true faith. If we walk in true faith, what can we get from the Lord? All things, Bill. That's exactly right. All things. Whatsoever we ask in faith, He always answers our prayer, doesn't He, Jack? Well, Father, we praise You and thank You for this beautiful day that You've given us. We thank You, Lord, for Alan and Tina and their new little baby boy that You're going to give them in the very near future. And Lord, we thank You for all the gifts and everything that everybody brought to give to them to help them out with their first child. Lord, I praise You and thank You for being such an awesome God. And thank You for all this food and everything that You brought. And Lord, everybody that'll eat it, I ask You to bless all that food to their bodies. So Lord, I thank You and praise You. For all these little potluck dinners that we have, I thank You, Lord, that the people bring stuff to eat and everybody always gets plenty to eat and there's always an abundance left over. So Lord, I thank You and praise You for meeting our needs abundantly. You're such an awesome God. Lord, we praise You and thank You. Thank You. Help us this week, Lord, to walk in love toward each other, to do good things for each other. And Lord, if something crazy does happen with the atmosphere, if that planet does come in here on Wednesday or Thursday and cause some kind of a terrible problem, they say the temperatures are going to be hot, hot, hot this week. Hot. 108, 110 degrees. But Lord, we're Your children. And we know You're going to take care of us. We got Your promises. And we're going to walk by faith, knowing that it's ours. So, Father, I praise You and thank You for all Your wonderful promises. And all Your promises are yes and amen to Your obedient children. And, Lord, help us to walk in total obedience to Your Word, where we can walk in the blessings of God. And help us really, Lord, by the Spirit, to walk in total faith. Because we want to please You, Master. We really want to please our King. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.